Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weisop. Today, we are doing an emergency broadcast. We're exploring another controversial celebrity death. This time, it is Matthew Perry, who died at the age of 54. He was the lead in the world's most popular television show, Friends, okay? But his death has a lot of occult connections that I had to rush into the studio to make happen, because we got to talk about it. We're going to talk about the sacrificial period of the Hunter's Moon, Samhain, Halloween, the occult sacrifice night. We'll talk about bathtubs. I know it's hot tubs in this situation. We'll talk about it briefly, though. Some very cryptic posts he made on social media about Batman, which will include some symbolism of the Batman, the movie, and how it references an Illuminati. Is that what Matthew Perry was trying to tell us? I don't know. But most of all, he made a Faustian bargain when he was younger. So, I mean, there's that, right? I'm going to tell you all about all these things. I've got sources and stuff to read to you. It's going to be a banger. It's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, right? Tragic. It's sad. I hate to sound crass with these things because I don't know the man, obviously. But he's got surely people around him that love him, and this is a tragedy, and yada yada yada, right? So I don't want to try to belittle that. You know, people talk about these celebrities and the horrors they go through as if they're not real people, and they are, right? So let's get that out there first, right? Rest in peace, Matthew Perry. What happened? Well, he drowned in his hot tub on October 28th. That's as of this, you know, it's October 29th. It's the Lord's Day, October 29th. I just woke up and was doing a little research and my jaw dropped. I said, I got to do this, man. There's some interesting stuff I just found when I read through. I didn't read his whole memoir, but I read through his memoir, and almost like an Arthur Kessler literary angel, I went right to it and saw the Faustian bargain. I said, oh my God, this is just like, I did a show on Taylor Hawkins, the drummer from the Foo Fighters, when he died, which is chocked full of occult symbolism, because in Dave Grohl's autobiography, he talks about how he made a prayer to Satan for fame. You know, why do these celebrities always do it? We'll come to that by the end of the show here. But yeah, so Matthew Perry died. He was only 54. Way too young, right? Now, a lot of people say, well, you know, he had a storied history of drug use and abuse. True, right? That doesn't mean that this is necessarily what happened here, but it could be. Always a possibility. But I don't know. How do we get into this? So he died in his hot tub is the story we're being given. And when you talk about the bathtub, that is one of the themes that you see recurring oftentimes. I'm going to do a brief recap of what the bathtub means, but I'm going to put a link in the show notes for a more in-depth analysis, because it's actually really interesting. Because if you look at the bathtub, it goes back to, you know, this goes back to Solomon's Temple, which we did a couple shows on a couple weeks ago about the end times and Solomon's Temple and what's going on in Israel. And how there's people interested in ushering in the end times. And this goes back to occultist John Dee. So Solomon's Temple, they had what they called a mikveh. In Kabbalism, they call it the cleansing ritual, and the priests would cleanse themselves there before they would enact rituals to make contact with God. So you see this pop up in witchcraft as well, this cleansing ritual, bath ritual. You see it in Kenneth Anger's film, Lucifer Rising. It's very much an occult concept. And that's why when a lot of these celebrities die in the bathtub, we have to consider that, right? Whitney Houston's kind of the most famous one. She died in the bathtub. Her daughter, Bobby Christina, who was terrified of bathtubs, died in a bathtub just a couple years later. Lead singer from the Cranberries, Aaron Carter recently, Jim Morrison from the Doors. You know, I've been detailing this over the years, and I'll put a link in the show notes where you can dig in deeper into that. But there's an idea of predominantly it's about female passage over, but if you use the mikveh reference, it could be the male cleansing oneself before making contact with God or seeing God. So that is kind of strange. Now, granted, look, I'm going to take off my tinfoil hat for a second because he was in a hot tub. You don't take a bath in a hot tub, but hey, point remains. And speaking of the end times, check out me and Jay Dyer were on Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli talking about the end times. That's a banger of a show that just dropped, so check that out. But we're here to focus on Matthew Perry. And fun fact, I've never seen an episode of Friends in my whole life. Never seen it. It's usually ranked as the greatest sitcom of all time. Could be. I wouldn't know. I've never seen it. Same with Seinfeld. I've never actually sat through an entire episode of Seinfeld. I actually think Seinfeld is pretty funny because what bits I've caught, you know, just in passing, I'm like, oh, I should watch this show. It looks pretty good. No shade on Friends. I just, you know, whatever. Okay. So here's what makes it weird. And this is where we shift over to his social media posts on Instagram, which I grabbed screenshots of in case they take them down. So you can go to my Instagram at Isaac Weishaupt. I will post them with the show info for this episode. His last post on October 23rd was him in the hot tub in which he would die just days later, which is super eerie. And in the background, you can see the moon. Excuse me. Sorry, I just woke up. I'm a mess, all right? And his caption said, oh, so warm. Water swirling around. Oh, so warm water swirling around makes you feel good. I'm Mattman. All right. And that's related to Batman. I'm gonna walk you through the older post to explain to you what the Batman connection is. But the point is, his last post was him in the hot tub in which he would die with the moon in focus. Okay. Because he died on the night of the full moon in October, which is called the Hunter's Moon, October 28th. The Hunter's Moon is called that because that's when the hunters go out in the woods and kill, I don't know, pheasants and elk or whatever they do, right? I know as much about hunting as I do sports ball, so I'm not even going to pretend to guess there. But it is about the taking of life. Now keep that in your back pocket because we're going to keep going. And by the end of this, you're going to come around and say, man, something doesn't add up. And that's where I'm at with it. I certainly don't know what happened. I'm saying that I hear the official story, and I'm skeptical, right? Bruh, you acting sus right now, is what I say. Okay, let's go back in time to October 17th of 2023, right? So what is that, 12 days ago. Matthew Perry posts a video on his Instagram, and he doesn't post a lot on Instagram. I went back to his whole history. He opened it up in, I believe it was February of 2020. Simpler times. And I mean, he must have made 50 posts in 3 years, 100 posts tops. Not many, right? So the fact that the last week of his life, he posted 7 posts is very, very strange. If you look at it in that idea, a lot of people post on social media once, twice a day. I post maybe twice a week, you know, but twice a week times 52 weeks, that's 100 posts a year. That's like 300 posts. And he's way below that. Trust me. Well, don't trust me. Take a look for yourself. I didn't count them up, but it's not many. Okay, so October 17th is when he starts this onslaught of posts about the Batman. He shows a video of his bedroom, I guess, or a theater room. It looks like a bedroom, but it's really weird because there's a screen. There's three different screens, not connected like a big theater screen. Like one big screen TV here, a big screen TV there, and then like a regular TV over there, like on three different walls. It's really strange. And it looks like a bedroom. And he zooms in on his ceiling. He's got star lighting to make it look like the stars. And then there's a little cheesy bat logo, the bat light, whatever you call it, the Batman symbol, right? And he says, no need to worry, everybody. I've got the streets tonight. Pretty strange. Then, 2 days later, October 19th, he posts a photo of that same cheesy bat symbol on his, I think it's his yard. I can't really tell. And it says, Sleep well, everybody. I've got the city tonight. Mattman, right? A play on Batman. Not Matthew Perry, right? Mattman. Still weird. Okay. What's this about, right? Then a couple days later, October 22nd, there's a photo of a sign that's presumably in his house, I guess. And it's got the like block lettering on it, like marquee lettering. It says, it's a image of the bat symbol. And it says, Batman plays pickleball. And has a caption from Matthew Perry that says, WTF. Well, that's really weird. It's even weirder when you find out that he was playing pickleball before he died. He played pickleball for a couple hours, then he went and got in his hot tub, and that's where he drowned. He drowned in the hot tub. That's so bizarre. Like, drowning in a pool, weird, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how this works. I mean, it's the same as drowning in a bathtub. It's kind of weird. Like, you must have to pass out. Like, you're not jumping off a diving board into the hot tub, right? So it is weird that 1 week before he died, right after playing pickleball, he posts that image. Then the next day, October 23rd, which is the day that he made four final posts. So what is that? 5 days before he died, he made four posts, and then it went silent. So here's the first one on October 23rd. It's a video of a hand with an unseen, I don't know whose hand it is. Could be his, could be his handler, who knows? A video of a hand laying what appears to be three grapes onto a table. It looks like grapes to me. I could be wrong. And he wrote, "This is what I've had to eat today. I'm Mattman." Now that's bizarre, right? It's getting really bizarre. Which makes me think maybe he's doing drugs or something. Then the same day, the next post is a photo of a pumpkin with the Batman symbol carved out on it. And it says, "Do you know what I mean?" No, we don't know what you mean. That's very strange. This is strange behavior. Then there's a short video of the moon again with what I think is a bird flying by. Could be a UFO. Let's throw that out there, right? We're being crazy conspiracy people, right? And the caption is, "Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? I'm Mattman." This is very strange. What is he trying to get across here? I have a theory. It's not like a hill I would die on, but I've got a theory I'm going to tell you about. Then finally, it's the last post he makes. Him in the hot tub in which he would die, with the moon in the background, implying that he knew that the moon was relevant to his death of the hunter's moon, the sacrificial moon. And the caption, so warm water swirling around makes you feel good? I'm Mattman. Okay, so let's dig into the Batman stuff, because obviously he's telling us to check out the Batman. We're talking about the Robert Pattinson Batman from 2022. Because that's what he was playing on his little theater room / bedroom TV screens. On one hand, let's take the tinfoil off for a second. Maybe he just likes Batman. Tons of people love Batman. It's true. Actually, that's my favorite superhero if you force me to watch a superhero movie. Well, you're going to have to force me. I watch all the Batman movies. I love them. For whatever reason, that one is great for me. Then I went through his feed, like I said, and it doesn't have that many posts. But back in March 16th, 2020, he posted a meme of Batman. And it says, "Cough like Batman. Now go wash those hands with soap." And it's Batman coughing into the crook of his elbow with his cape, right? Because this is back in peak pandemic scare, right? March 16th. Couple weeks prior on Leap Day, February 29th, 2020. It was a meme with a caption, "Cinematic Parallels." And it showed Chandler from Friends on the Friends set dancing, juxtaposed with the Joker dancing on the stairs. Simpler times, right? Remember the Joker movie? Great movie. So there's two other references. And he doesn't have a ton of posts. He doesn't post tons of superhero crap. He seems like he's into Batman. That doesn't explain the very peculiar post, though, right? Now, Batman, this is controversial, so we're going to keep it light here. if you recall, the Batman has a very storied history of occult symbolism as well. The Dark Knight Rises movie came out in 2012, the one with Bane. Remember that? It was playing in the theaters on July 20th, 2012, at midnight when a mentally ill guy... Well, I don't even want to say his name. I feel like sometimes the media makes these things worse with the mass stuff. But this guy, you know who he is, walked in with these firearms and killed 12 people, injured 58. Horrific. And he had dyed his hair orange, and there was theories floating around that he was trying to emulate the Joker, which could be, right? Lots of sort of mentally ill people are really into the Joker, which is terrifying. If you look into the original storyline of the Joker, he is an agent of nihilism, which nihilism takes us into another realm of thought when you get into Friedrich Nietzsche and the occultists. You know, because Friedrich Nietzsche was influential to Adolf Hitler and the ideas of the Übermensch or the Superman. Anyway, so he did all this in a place called Aurora, Colorado. I had made some posts on this back in the day because there's lots of weird connections there. But, you know, this guy, he had a very privileged lifestyle. His father was a scientist who graduated from Stanford, UCLA, and UC Berkeley. His mother was an RN, and they lived in San Diego, okay? But he had mental issues, and CNN posted stuff from his notebook because he pled, guilty by insanity, and I think they accepted that. They say it's like 1% of people can, I think it's 1% of people can plea for insanity and get it. Like, it's very rare. And, you know, they found him guilty and he has like a million life sentences or something like that. But CNN says, Holmes wrote in his notebook that he studied neurology in college and grad school in a failed attempt to fix his own broken mind. His childhood was haunted by night terrors in which nail ghosts hammered on the walls. Shadows and flickerings danced in his peripheral vision. Then later he would say those flickerings, he would envision gunfights? Like, whoa, dude. He has been depressed and obsessed with murder since about age 14, he says, because it was the only viable alternative to suicide. No voices commanded Holmes to kill. The idea was completely his own, he told Reed. Quote, I'd say I was on my own authority. He said he considered carrying out the mass shooting at the movie theater since the day he bought the shotgun, May 28th. According to court records, he listed a host of physical maladies from schizophrenia to Asperger's to restless leg syndrome in a section called Self-Diagnosis of a Broken Mind. He complained of fatigue, catatonia, insomnia, social awkwardness, isolation, hyperactivity, problems with his eyes, ears, nose, constant dripping, and even his penis, which he said he injured as a child. He studies himself and his physical shortcomings in the mirror obsessively. So, terrifying story there, right? And you remember back in, I think it was February of 2020, when Harvey Weinstein, they revealed that he had two sets of genitalia. He had a vagina and a penis. Do you remember this? It was in the news for about a day, and then we started talking about the pandemic. Very strange. And I think even Adolf Hitler had some, like, a baby penis, too. What's going on with that, dude? What's up with that? I don't know. But this gunman, this loser, his friends and girlfriend, I say he's a loser because he should have overcame these things instead of hurting other people, right? Like, that's terrible. His friends and girlfriend all said he was a bit off and he needed to see counseling. But then he proceeds to go and buy lots of guns and ammo and semis. Totally normal behavior here in America, right? Jeez, what a mess. I bet. Anyway, I won't get on any soapboxes today, folks. All right. An interesting theory to float here, though, what I'm getting at, could be that he could have had dissociative identity disorder alters. I'm not saying that's exactly what happened, but it could be, if you want to put on your conspiracy tinfoil hat. Because his father went to Stanford, which was one of the campuses for MKUltra, the mind control programming stuff. It's also where they did, Project Stargate, where they were Hal Putoff and such, where they were channeling aliens and crap. Like I said, this is a very loose, another hill I won't die on, but a loose theory to float. I'll see if I can dig deeper into this, maybe. And this guy also interned at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies to write computer code. Now, that might not mean much to many people, but that is named after Jonas Salk. That's the guy who invented the polio vaccine. And, oh, by the way, he was very much into evolving mankind and creating a technocracy of science to be the dictator for us. He wrote a book called Survival of the Wisest, in which he says that only the wisest should be guiding humanity through science. That is another term for technocracy, which Elon Musk's grandfather got in trouble for, I don't know, pursuing this in Canada years ago. Because I think he's the same way. I think these people think science is the end-all, be-all, and, you know, it has its flaws, is all I'm going to say. But Salk says that the greatness of science and technology will allow man to live longer, but then that creates a problem of overpopulation. And he also worked for the Rockefeller Foundation, right? One of the big Illuminati bloodlines. But I watched this interview with him, and he said, well, the host asks Jonas Salk about this elitism that he's proposing. These ideas of, I mean, basically eugenics, superior evolved humans, these kinds of ideas. And the host asks him, he says, well, where do all the losers go? Where do all the free feed losers go? And Jonas Salk says, and it's chilling, Jonas Salk says, there's a place for everyone. And that language he's using is that these supposed bottom feeders are here to serve the masters, to feed the masters the resources they need to make their lives better. And we need to provide these to them so that we could have their superior wisdom and guidance to tell us how to live. That's what these rich scientific technocracy type folks believe in. I think people love Neil deGrasse Tyson. I think he subscribes to this kind of thought too. I'm gonna guess. I don't know. I could be wrong. I just don't trust it, right? So this crazy guy went to that institute. I mean, is that a major red flag? No, but it's worth considering, right? And this goes back to Aleister Crowley. He said the same thing. He said the slave shall serve. People don't understand. They think that, oh, yeah, these rich people, like, they're really trying to help us out. No, they're not. No, they're not. That's why Trump passed those tax cuts. And, I mean, it's insane. He passes tax cuts, and the middle class get it for 4 years, and the rich people get it forever. And then you wonder why the economy sucks right now. It goes back to Reagan, trickle-down economics. Yeah, you give all the money to the rich people, and then they'll be sure to pass some down. No, they don't. No, they don't. They're billionaires. They'll never spend that money. But you have to understand the mindset. They don't think you deserve it. They think you're a loser. All you need to do is be the cog in the wheel, go to your little workplace and do what you're told so that you can funnel the resources up to Elon Musk's and he can get us all to Mars. Don't you see? What are you going to do with that money? You're going to buy lunch? You don't need lunch. Get to work. That's what they're doing. All right, we're getting close to soapbox territory. Let's stick to the script. Okay, so the Batman. Why is Matthew Perry referencing the Batman? Well, I don't know, but I did talk about the Batman in 2022 very briefly. There wasn't a ton of symbolism to unpack, but I will share with you what, because I think it was a bonus episode. Because, you know, I got bonus episodes. I got 5 kids to feed, man. Patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher. Hundreds of bonus episodes. No more ads. Early access, my God. But I talked about the Batman very briefly, and this is what I said. It was interesting because the Penguin was the character I focused in on. He introduces himself as Oz, because his name is Oswald. And when we talk about Oz, we have to talk about the occult aspects here. There is a connection to Helena Blavatsky's theosophy because Frank L. Baum, the guy who wrote the Wizard of Oz series, was a theosophist. And also Aleister Crowley wrote a book, number called a book 77, Liber Oz. and that Libra Oz is all about the new religion of man and Thelema, and that's what gave us the phrases "Do what thou wilt" shall be the whole of the law, as well as that's where the term the slaves shall serve. That's where that comes from, actually. It's social Darwinian Satanist ideas about, you know, man has the right to kill those who would thwart their rights. You know, anyway. Yeah, that's Libra Oz. But yeah, Oz is a reference to The Wizard of Oz, which I did 4 episodes on The Wizard of Oz in the last year. I think it was about a year ago I started them. And those are bangers. You got to check those out. Well, let me put a link in the show notes for that, too. I'm gonna link you down, baby. If you're new to occult symbolism and pop culture, I'm going to drop some links in the show notes. I got some episodes for you to check out and wake up. Wake up to The Wizard of Oz and about how it's crossing dimensions over the rainbow. And how Eyes Wide Shut ties into it. Twin Peaks ties into it. It's all there. I'm telling you. They tell us the truth through pop culture and symbolism and entertainment. That's why we analyze these deaths. And people, the normies out there, are just like, no, you're crazy. No, I don't think so. I think there's clues being left everywhere. So the Penguin, back to the Batman. The Penguin has a club called the Iceberg Lounge, okay? But you'll notice, first off, that it's underground. That's where any initiation takes place in the realm of the occult. This started hundreds of years ago in Egypt, right? They were you see this with Skull and Bones. They put them in a coffin. And the idea is of death and rebirth and being reborn into the ways of the occult, understanding the true nature of reality, according to them. But you'll find in the Penguins Club, there's an inner club, another club. It's called the 44 Club. It's the club within the club. Do you get it? Now, the 44, the symbolism there is in the occult. It's used as a number to represent Christ. They supposedly use it to get the energies of Christ somehow. Don't ask me how that works. I don't know. But Jacob Boehme said that 44, 45, and 46 are the trinity of human life. He was a mystic. And if you read, I read the Cambridge Handbook of Western Mysticism and Esotericism, says that Jacob Boehme, a Christian mystic, said that Adam, man, is God's replacement for Lucifer, who fell because he wished to be not merely an embodiment of the whole, but the whole itself. Like the fallen angel, man is a perfect microcosm of the whole. In the garden, Adam possessed the wisdom of God, knowledge of the primordial forms of all things contained within God's great mirror, Sophia. However, Adam possessed this knowledge without consciousness. That is, he did not know that he knew it. Insofar as he remained in this state, Adam could not be an adequate image of God. The divine agent who brings an end to Adam's naivete is Lucifer in the form of a serpent. Adam and Eve then eat of the forbidden tree of knowledge of good and evil, which represents consciousness of duality or opposition. So the short version is Lucifer is the ultimate god of the Illuminati because they believe in the practice of what they call the left-hand path, which is the right-hand path is like your Christian religions, right? It's trying to get into the stream of consciousness of God, trying to align your energy with God and God's will. The left-hand path is to try to find a way outside of that. You're the adversary, the outsider force. You're trying to get out of that stream of consciousness of God and become God. That's the key distinction. So, to bring it all back to Matthew Perry, that's, if you wanted to have a theory as to why he kept referencing the Batman, there's a theme within the movie of a club within a club of the Illuminati. Does Matthew Perry know about the Illuminati in Hollywood? I'm going to guess he does. All right. He was the lead in the world's most popular television show. He's been to some parties. He's seen some things. And if you had any doubts, keep listening because I'm about to blow your mind here. He grew up with a very peculiar connection here. I'm going to read you from dumb old Wikipedia. Matthew Perry was born in Williamstown, Massachusetts, August 19th, 1969. His mother, Suzanne Morrison, is a Canadian journalist who served as press secretary to Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau. Pierre Trudeau, that's Jacques' father, right? The current prime minister. I mean, the press secretary to the president or the prime minister, that's a really high up position. You're the mouthpiece for the prime minister. I'm sure that opens up some doors, don't you think? And his father, John Perry, is an American actor and former model. His parents divorced before his first birthday, and his mother married Canadian-born broadcast journalist Keith Morrison. He was raised by his mother, mostly in Ottawa, but he lived briefly in Toronto and Montreal, blah, blah, blah. But he was educated at both the Rockcliffe Park Public School alongside future Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and at Ashbury College. So I don't know if anyone, think about this, I think, what are the odds? What are the odds of this happening? If you had a friend and your friend was like, yeah, I went to high school with Joe Biden and Donald Trump and, Barack Obama, you'd be like, wait a minute, what? That's kind of what we're looking at here. He's very cozy with the president, right? The prime minister of Canada. Now it gets even weirder. I'm going to read you from his memoir. Let's see. He talks about his sister. Caitlin was as cute as could be, and I loved her instantly, but there was now a family growing up around me. A family I didn't really feel a part of. It was around this time I made the conscious choice to say, F it. It's every man for himself. That's when the bad behavior started. I try not to swear on the show for you guys. I like to swear. I got crappy grades. He doesn't say crappy. I got crappy grades. I started smoking. I beat up Pierre's son. An eventual prime minister himself, Justin Trudeau. I decided to end my argument with him when he was put in charge of an entire army. I made the choice to live in my head and not in my heart. It was safer in my head. You couldn't be broken there, not yet, anywhere. Anyway. So not only did his mom work for Pierre as the press secretary, not only did he go to school with the press secretary or with the prime minister's son, Justin, who also would become a prime minister, but he beat him up. I'm thinking, did Justin Trudeau put a hit out on Matthew Perry in his hot tub? Is that what happened here? And I read that from Matthew Perry's autobiography, Friends, Lovers, and the Big Terrible Thing, which was released, I think, last year. And he's been doing a ton of press for it since then. Fascinating. And if you want more, and that's about all he says in the book about that, but at least as far as I could tell, I didn't read the entire book cover to cover. But if you go to some of the pop culture websites, Hindustan Times, I know, not a great one. I was looking for people.com, but now it's flooded with other Matthew Perry articles. There's an article called When Friends Star Matthew Perry Beat Up Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau in Grade School. It was pure jealousy. I'm going to try to read through you very fast. Friend star Matthew Perry and his friend had beaten up Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau while they were in grade school. Matthew said he was not proud of the incident. Before Perry moved to the U.S. and became popular for playing Chandler on Friends, he used to live with his mother in Canada, where he was a top-ranked junior tennis player in his school. During his younger years, he also beat up future Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau while they were in the same school. Matthew and Justin both attended Rockcliffe Park Elementary, a public school in Ottawa. Interestingly, Matthew's mom, Suzanne Marie Morrison, also worked as a press secretary to Justin's father, Pierre, while he was the prime minister. Matthew said it was pure jealousy that led him to attack the son of then-Canadian prime minister who went on to become the PM himself. 2017, on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Kimmel, Matthew recalled going to the same school as Justin. He said, I was a couple years ahead of him. My friend Chris Murray, who was also in the fifth grade in Canada, reminded me we actually beat up Justin Trudeau. I don't know why. We both beat him up. I think he was excelling in a sport that we weren't, so it was pure jealousy. He added he's not proud of the incident. He said, I'm not bragging about this. It's terrible. I was a stupid kid, and I didn't want to beat him up. He also said that he never spoke to Justin Trudeau about the fight. He joked, but I think I was rather instrumental in him going to such great heights and becoming the prime minister. I think he said, you know, I'm going to rise above this and I'm going to become prime minister. Trudeau, who blah, 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 reacted to the revelations and challenged him to a rematch. And he tweeted, I've been giving it some thought. And you know what? Who hasn't wanted to punch Chandler? How about a rematch, Matthew Perry? The actor replied, I think I will pass at your request for a rematch, kind sir, given that you have an army at your disposal. Tell me we don't live in a mass ritual, right? Isn't this the most bizarre thing? People don't think this is, I don't know. How is this not a thing? It feels like we live in a dream. It feels like we live in a ritual. It feels like these people are all plugged into something. The Illuminati. That's what the something is, right? Supernatural things that you and I, you know, what did George Carlin say? It's a big club and you ain't in it. That's what this is. All right, we're about to wrap it up. Finally, there's this massive confession that I found. This is an Illuminati Watcher exclusive. In the memoir, there's a section where he's talking about being the second place choice for Chandler, but eventually got the lead role. He wasn't supposed to be Chandler. He said, about 3 weeks before my audition for Friends, I was alone in my apartment on Sunset and Doheny, 10th floor. It was very small, but it had a great view, of course. And I was reading in the newspaper about Charlie Sheen. It said that Sheen was yet again in trouble for something. But I remember thinking, why does he care? He's famous. Out of nowhere, I found myself getting to my knees, closing my eyes tightly, and praying. I had never done this before. God, you can do whatever you want to me. Just please make me famous. 3 weeks later, I got cast in Friends. And God has certainly kept his side of the bargain. But the Almighty, being the Almighty, had not forgotten the first part of that prayer as well. Now, all these years later, I'm certain that I got famous so I would not waste my entire life trying to get famous. You have to get famous to know that it's not the answer. And nobody who is famous will ever truly believe that. So I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, Isaac, that's certainly not a Faustian bargain to the devil. He's praying to God. That's kind of prosperity gospel in a way. I mean, kind of. I get it. But let's keep reading and see what he says in his own words later on in the book. Given everything, there's no way I wouldn't change places with Craig and David Pressman and the guy in the gas station down the block. I'd change places with all of them in a minute and forever. If only I could not be who I am, the way I am, bound on this wheel of fire. They don't have a brain that wants them dead. They slept fine at night. I don't expect that would make them feel any better about the choices they made, the way their lives went. I would give it all up to not feel this way. I think about it all the time. It's no idle thought. It's a cold-hearted fact. That Faustian prayer I made was a stupid one. The prayer of a child. It was not based on anything real, but it became real. I have the money, the recognizability, and the near-death experiences to prove it. So he thinks that he made a deal with the devil for fame. Classic story, right? We hear about it all the time. Goes back to Robert Johnson from the Blues, who made a deal with the devil at the crossroads to play the guitar, and he did so. You hear about it constantly, right? Could be that these occultists, they believe in the power of magic and the idea of manifestation to the point where they think, man, I think I really made a deal to become famous. So in conclusion, right, let's wrap it up. Did Matthew Perry sell his soul? I'm not saying that. He said that. He says it. He says he made a Faustian bargain. That's not a conspiracy theory. That's what the guy said in his own book. And let's go back to the original prayer. He says, God, you can do whatever you want to me. Just please make me famous. And he even says, he acknowledges, he says, yeah, God didn't forget the first part of that. He was in the lowest rated show ever called Second Chance before he got famous on Friends. And he played a guy who died in a hovercraft accident. And his soul is sent to the Palace of St. Peter. St. Peter determines that his character is too good for hell, but not good enough for heaven, so he's sent back to Earth to sort of guide himself as a teen to make better moral choices. So he had this sort of experience being at an all-time low with this show that didn't do well. He then says a prayer to God, says, "You can do whatever you want to me, make me famous." And he gets it. He gets it. He gets to be the lead on the most famous sitcom ever in history. Then he has a bunch of near-death experiences like this character here. And then he sort of calls his own death in the hot tub with the Hunter's Moon. Oh, another interesting fact from that show, Second Chance, which I've never seen. On Wikipedia, it says, in the opening scene for the pilot, as a throwaway joke, Colonel Muammar Gaddafi is shown being judged after his death, with the date given as July 29th, 2011. In the year after the Berlin discotheque bombing and the U.S. response, this 1987 pilot was playing off Gaddafi's prominent negative perception by the American public. 24 years later, by coincidence, Gaddafi's death on October 20th, 2011, occurred within 3 months of the predicted date and was from the same cause, multiple gunshot wounds. So you see, there's this weird idea about occult magic and sort of manifesting things into reality. That's why there is a power in thought and the spoken word. There really is. I believe in that. And I think that some of these people, they play with it and it happens and then they get terrified by it. So the part that really lends itself to the theory is the Hunter's Moon, right? Because he died on the Hunter's Moon, the full moon of October. The Hunter's Moon is about the blood sacrifice, killing of animals. And if you subscribe to the Jonas Salk stuff, social Darwinism, man is just an animal. That's what the Satanists believe. And with Halloween, the mass Samhain ritual, blood sacrifice night, 3 days away, and the full moon, and then you throw in this self-admitted Faustian bargain theory? There's a lot to unpack here. And then the Batman movie with the Illuminati club with inside the club. And the fact that he was hanging out with like these famous prime ministers and beating them up and stuff. Like, dude, what is going on? We live in a theater of ritual. Okay. All right, that's it. Now, if you want more on the bathtub symbolism, you want more on, what was the other link I was going to throw in the show notes for you? There's something else I was going to. Now, while I'm yammering, you need to subscribe to my podcast. I unpack crazy stuff like this regularly, every week. I'm going to put links in the show notes to the bathtub stuff so you can learn more about that. And then a link to the Wizard of Oz shows. Those are mega bangers. You've ever seen Wizard of Oz? I'm about to blow your mind. You won't believe it. I'm going to put links to all that in the show notes. Stay subscribed to the show. And tell a friend. Send this to a friend. You got a friend out there that's like, oh, he just died. He did too many drugs. No, send this to them. Say, nah, bitch. Check this out. You bugging. Okay. Link in the show notes. Stay subscribed to the show. And until next time, stay woke.